Open up first to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We have completed, we just completed a series on spiritual knowledge. We don't have the albums fixed for that yet. Those of you listening to this by tape or however, by the time you hear it, odds are we'll have that series ready in an album form. But right now, as of this recording, we don't. You can still order it, and we'll get it to you as soon as possible. And then right along with that, in the midst of that series, we took a particular service, and we talked about receiving direction from the Lord, and we spent 15 minutes in that service of just sitting, praying in the Spirit, listening to what the Holy Spirit would say, and then writing what He gave us. And I shared with you what He gave to me, just as an example. Now, one of the things that can be very difficult, and that is when you talk about, like in that series, we're talking about coming to spiritual knowledge, and we looked at a verse that talked about having the knowledge of God, and I used that verse as an example and kind of made a play on words, not just having the knowledge of the existence of God and so forth, but literally having the knowledge of God. Whatever knowledge He has, He passes it on to us. And, in that series, we were studying the things in Scripture that we need to know. Well, that can be intimidating for some people, especially the part about, praying and hearing from God and writing down what He says to you. That also can be intimidating. I don't know about you, but I can remember years ago sitting and I would hear preachers talk about their relationship with God and so forth. And, they talked about, I was praying the other day and the Lord began to speak and He said, and then they'd start repeating all the stuff He said. And I'm thinking, how can you hear Him like that? And you begin to feel insignificant. You begin to feel less than a Christian, you have a problem, and that God doesn't love you because you sit and you try as hard as you can, but you don't hear anything. It's like, well, how come you won't talk to me? Maybe He doesn't love me, but I know that can't be true because He does love me. Well, maybe He doesn't want to talk to me, but I don't know why He wouldn't want to talk to me. I don't understand this. Maybe there's something wrong with me after all. Well, I have news for you. You're right. There is something wrong with you. You say, well, thank you, Brother Martin. Now I'm all encouraged. Well, no. Now let's think for a minute. That's some of the best news you've had today. You say, well, how do you figure that? You just stand there and tell me there's something wrong with me. Well, now wait. Isn't it better to know that there is a problem than to wonder? Okay, so now we've identified the fact, you've got a problem. But it's not as serious as what you think. Because I'm going to show you in Scripture what the problem is. Let me just kind of say it this way, and I don't know if I'll repeat this again later on. One of the biggest problems that people have when it comes to understanding the Word of God, coming to the knowledge we were talking about, and then hearing Him when He speaks, one of the biggest problems that people have, they try too hard. They try too hard. That's what messes them up. And they're trying so hard to receive and to understand and to do and all of this other that they miss out on the simplicity that's involved with hearing and understanding and so forth. So that primarily is the problem. But we're going to focus in a little bit more on this, and tonight really is going to be a review in three different areas. One is hearing His voice, hearing Him speak. The other is meditating in Scripture. And the third is doing His works. So we're going to review tonight those three areas. We won't be spending a lot of time in any of them. However, all the information you're going to get is going to give you enough to work with. If you'll receive tonight what I'm going to show you, honestly, it's going to change you. It will help you tremendously. By the way, everything that I'm going to share tonight It has been covered more than once, and it's on those tapes back there hanging on the wall. So, you know, take that for whatever it's worth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, take a look at verse 4. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Okay, now let's stop right there. Wouldn't you like to know what the strongholds are? Listen, you wouldn't have to pull something down if it weren't there, right? And when Paul writes this, you'll notice the weapons of our warfare. He's including himself in that. So we literally could say that every member of the body of Christ is in some way, shape, or form included in this verse. So we've got strongholds we need to tear down. Problem is, most Christians really don't understand how many strongholds they have. And the fact that they don't understand that is revealed in the next verse. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And what's that tell us? Well, remember a moment ago I shared how that the problem most Christians have is they don't realize how many strongholds they have? Okay, verse 10 reveals that. Or not verse 10, but verse 5 reveals that. It's called imaginations. In my imaginations, I don't think I have as many strongholds as what I have. Do you understand what I'm saying? What is an imagination? An imagination is an image in motion. An imagination is an image in motion. Meaning, it is an active image you have of you on the inside of you that establishes your walk with God. He says here that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. So, using these two verses, what we have just defined is that the greatest area of warfare is with our imaginations. It's our images in motion. Let me give you an example. And some of you, maybe you can relate to this. I read the Bible, but I just can't understand it. Okay, now what is that? That is an image in motion. The statement you just said, I read the Bible, but I just can't understand it, that is a perpetual, ongoing image of yourself. Because your belief, your ongoing, active belief of you is, I read, but can't. I read, but can't. This is the motion of my life. I read, but can't. Likewise, when people say things like, well, I try, but I just can't hear him. That, again, is an image in motion. It's an image you have of yourself that you cannot hear. And you get frustrated because other people can hear. And like on Sunday night, the Sunday night that we did that, the 15 minutes, and then you know you write down, and I stood up and I read mine. For some people, me reading that could have been very intimidating because they would look at what they received, and they might have only figured out one or two words or something. And then here I read this very clear, very explicit, I mean, easy to understand word from the Lord. And some folks can say, you know, like on the inside, you feel like just throwing up your paper and pen and saying, what's the use? I could never hear like that. Okay, what is that now? That is an imagination. It is an image in motion. It's what you have created for yourself that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Because God's knowledge, God out of His knowledge says, but you can hear me. God out of His knowledge says, but you can understand my word. It all depends on whose side of the fence you're walking. You know, if you're walking on your side, you're right, you can't. And you keep saying you can't. But from God's active image, you can. You can understand, you can hear, you can do the works of Jesus, all of this. You can do this. And he says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are my strongholds? My active images of me relative to what I believe I can understand, what I believe I can hear, and what I believe I can do. So on the inside of me, I have created an image. Now, does this image line up with God? Well, if this image tells me that I cannot hear, I cannot understand, and I cannot do, then that image comes against the knowledge of God. It is an image that is actively in resistance to the knowledge of God. Now, I'm not saying you're in sin. It's just that you have built this little home of imagination on the inside of you, and that's where you live. But God says differently. Okay, now let's talk about this thing first off, relative to praying or relative to hearing His voice. Can you hear God's voice? Yes. Is it exclusive only to certain people? No. Can you hear God's voice like they did in the Old Testament? The answer is yes, you can. But a bigger question is, does God communicate with us the way He communicated with people in the Old Testament? The answer to that is, He doesn't want to. He can, but He doesn't want to. See, you have to remember that in the Old Testament, all those people were lost. God had to communicate with them on a soulish level. He could not communicate spirit to spirit because their spirit with the lost sin nature was incompatible with His perfect Holy Spirit. So therefore, I'm not talking Holy Ghost, I'm talking the very nature of who He is. But it would include the Holy Ghost as well. So therefore, He had to communicate with them differently. Now, here's the problem when it comes to hearing God's voice. Too many people are waiting to... You know, how many of you have seen that movie, The Ten Commandments? I'm talking about the original version, all right? You know, really, that was a pretty good movie. And, yeah, they had a few things that were kind of quirky as far as, you know, lining up with Scripture. But for the most part, I mean, this thing exalted God. It's great in what it is, but the problem with that movie is that some Christians could come away expecting to hear God the way Moses heard God in that movie.
Moses.
Now, if you heard a voice like that, one of two things is going to happen. You're going to run, or you're going to respond. And there are too many Christians when they're praying and they're waiting to hear God, it's like they're expecting to hear a voice that is unfamiliar. Now, if you start hearing voices that are unfamiliar, you are not hearing God. You say, how do you figure that? Okay, now listen. Very simple. Your born-again spirit will bear witness with the voice of its Father. Now let that sink in. Your born-again spirit will bear witness with the voice of its Father, your Father. So, okay. You ever noticed how that babies... They can't speak. I mean, they can't do much of anything but like eat and sleep and mess their diapers. But they can recognize voices, can they not? And I can remember, like with our grandkids, by the way, they're the best in the world. I know you've got good ones, but ours are the best. Well, anyway, babies, not even a year old. And they had been around us enough, and I'd paid enough attention to them to where I could walk in the room and they wouldn't know I was there, and if I just spoke something, their heads would turn. Because they recognized my voice. And they would turn to look for me. And praise God when they would reach for me. Oh man, it's like, anything you want, it's yours. Okay, your born-again spirit can recognize the voice of your Father. Say, well, what's it sound like? Okay, now. He speaks spiritually. This is what He has longed for ever since the fall of man. The ability for a restored spiritual relationship with humans. Now, we'll have a relationship with Him similar to the Garden of Eden, what took place, you know, in Genesis. It'll be similar to that after the book of Revelation has completed. Okay, the Bible's all said and done, so to speak. However, between now and then, He rejoices over the fact that when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, spiritually, we're now compatible with Him. And because He is a spirit, He'll communicate with us on a spiritual level. If you're looking for Him to communicate with you in a natural way, He can do it. But the more He does that, the more it holds you back in your walk with God. You say, well, how do you figure that? Here's why. You learn and train yourself to become dependent on a natural way of communication with God as opposed to a spiritual way. You see, it isn't that God's trying to make it difficult for you to hear Him, but He knows the best thing for you is for your spirit to be trained to hear Him. Kind of like, you know, to coin what Jesus said, any man has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, see, the moment you get born again, you now have ears to hear. You have the mind of Christ, and incorporated with the mind of Christ are spiritual ears to hear the voice of your Father. Now, when He speaks spiritually. Now, here's what this means. Because He speaks spiritually, He's going to speak to you on a spiritual level. What you hear will be very familiar to you because His voice, as He speaks, comes from His spirit to your spirit and passes through what I'll call the mind of Christ. Put another way, passes through what I'll call your born-again conscience. And from there, it enters into your soulish conscience. So there is a working relationship between your soul, the part of you that comprehends in the natural, and your spirit and God as He speaks to you. Now let me show you, turn over to Romans. In fact, I'll tell you what, leave your marker here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We might come back to this. But look over in Romans. Romans chapter 2. And Paul is writing here and he's talking about the Gentiles becoming born again. And he says in verse 14, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another." Now the things that the thoughts are accusing or excusing are thoughts. In other words, you can think purely with your naturally trained soulish mind. This is where a lot of Christians think. Sadly, this is where a lot of preachers think too. It's why you end up with weird doctrines. It's why you end up with division in the body of Christ and all these denominations claiming they're right. You can think with your soul. However, you have the mind of Christ. Now, in your soul, you've been trained throughout your life to respond and react in the natural. In other words, to get mad and get even. I mean, that's just one example, okay? But the thoughts that come from the mind of Christ say, no. Now, they do deserve something. And if there were a policeman nearby, they'd get a ticket. But this is not for you to deal with. Now, you just turn this over to God. Let Him handle this. Let Him deal with it. You know, pray for them. Maybe they're drunk. You don't know. The mind of Christ and your trained natural soul. The thoughts that come from the mind of Christ are going to be thoughts that God has spoken to you in the realm of the Spirit. This is why when you're praying and God is speaking, the voice you hear is going to be very familiar to you because it's going to sound a lot like you. This is why a lot of Christians get confused and think they're making everything up. Well, those of you that have been around and you've heard me read words that the Lord has given to me, I think that you would agree with me that these things I read to you, they have to have come straight from God. I'm not smart enough to sit around and just think of these things. You understand what I'm not stupid, but I'm not that smart. I can't come up with this stuff on the natural. So God speaks to me, and He speaks to you too. And I am firmly convinced that a lot of Christians, and I won't say all because I don't believe all. Well, no, let me rephrase this whole thing. I'll say it this way, yeah. There are a lot of Christians God has spoken to them, but they haven't recognized that He was speaking. They have dismissed it as them just making something up in their head. Now, is that possible? Sure it is. Absolutely. There have been times where God, where I believe that God has spoken to me, and I have stopped, and I've prayed, and I said, "Now, Father, is this really You or is it me? I mean, it sounds good, but I need to know if this is You or this is me." And He said, "No, this is me. You're hearing me. Just keep writing." And so I keep writing. The problem you have is when you get way out there in the extreme where some Christians think that every thought that pops up in their head, well, the Lord spoke to me the other day and He said, I get emails like this off and on. And it's like, no, God didn't speak to you. He didn't tell you this. Because, you know, it's hard sometimes because they mean well, but when they say the Lord spoke to me and told me thus and thus, and it's not in Scripture, it doesn't line up, and I have to kind of correct it, because if I don't correct it, they're going to go tell a whole bunch of other people God spoke to me and told me dumma, summa, wumma, whatever about, and it's like, no, that's not right. So it needs to be, you know, dealt with. Some people receive and some people they resist. But resistance is futile. Now, in this world, you can get by with a lot of goofy words. And a lot of people will believe you. But when you stand before God, the Bible talks about being judged for every idle word that you say. A lot of people think that's just stupidity. Well, that's also going to include when you speak and say, thus saith the Lord God Almighty, and it doesn't line up with His word. You'll be judged for that. Now, the more that you pray in tongues, is the more you're training your spirit to hear God's voice. And one of the best things that you can do is sit and spend some time praying in tongues. No music, no TV. Quite frankly, the best thing to do, if it's at all possible, is to get into a room that's pitch black and sit there and just pray in tongues. And pray 5, 10, 15 minutes. Just pray. You say, wait a minute, Brother Martin, if the room's pitch black, how do I know that I prayed 5, 10, or 15 minutes? Don't get technical with me, okay? Get a little watch or light or something. I don't know. Anyway, you pray and then just stop praying. Just stop. But keep listening on the inside. And odds are you're going to continue to hear yourself praying in tongues. And what you're doing is you're training your spirit to recognize when God is speaking to you. Now, when He speaks, sometimes He will speak from the perspective of your Father. Sometimes He will speak from the perspective of your brother Jesus. Sometimes He will speak from the perspective of the Holy Spirit. And then sometimes He wraps it all together and speaks to you as God. You say, well, how do you know the difference? Well, you'll know the difference. Because when He starts speaking and saying things like, when I gave my body, when I was hanging on that cross, you know, I mean, you know He's speaking from the perspective of Jesus. When He starts speaking, you know, when my son was down there, now you know, ah, the Father. And when He just, you know, starts speaking, you know, this is what I want you to do, and I don't want to say it's general, but you'll learn to understand the difference. You will. And then what you want to do is you want to begin writing these things down. Now I know, how am I going to do that in a blackened room, okay? Well, in the dark room, you're training yourself to hear His voice. And what you want to do, though, eventually, you'll get to the place where you do this in a lit room. And you write down what He's giving you. You just put it in writing. Very simple. You say, well, Brother Martin, I've tried. No, 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 wait a minute. Don't come back at me with the imaginations. Remember what we talked about. An imagination is an image in motion. As long as you keep saying you can't, it doesn't, it won't, you aren't, it never, it is that is the image you have created for yourself, not God. And one of the things that you can do is begin to speak to yourself. Just declare, I hear the voice of my shepherd and I recognize it. I hear the voice of the Lord. I hear a voice behind me saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. I hear God's voice. I understand. I know the voice of my Father. Just begin to, because this is what God wants. He wants you to understand. And I'm just going to say this, at the risk of really intimidating some people, if you don't get to the place where you can hear God, you can forget about going very far in your ministry. You'll go to a certain point and that's going to be it. You say, well, thank you very much. Now, wait a minute. If you can't hear Him, how can you receive instructions from Him? If it's the ministry He's called you to, how can you say this nice? People that don't pray in tongues judge cautiously what they say. I guess that's the nice way to say it. Judge cautiously the direction that they're walking in life. Judge cautiously what they tell you they're supposed to do as far as their ministry and calling is concerned. If they don't pray in tongues, even if they believe in it, if they don't pray in tongues, then what they're doing is they are eliminating an area of communication where the third person of the Holy Spirit communicates directly with your spirit. And if you don't do this, you are severely limiting your ability to hear God on a spiritual basis. Now, I know a lot of people don't like to hear this, but remember, God is a spirit, the Holy Spirit is a spirit, your spirit is what is born again, your spirit is the area where He communicates with you. So therefore, praying in tongues is absolutely vital. Now, it can be difficult to hear His voice from the perspective of always believing that you can't. But you've got to start believing that you can, that you do, that you will, and that you're going to hear. You have to start believing that. And stop feeling sorry for yourself for all the times that you couldn't hear His voice. I've been there. You're going to waste a lot of time wishing you could have instead of going forward with the fact that you can. Okay, now, again, this is kind of review night on these things. Let's talk about meditating in Scripture, coming to the understanding of God's Word. Turn over to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, one verse. It says, this book of the law, verse 8, I'm sorry. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Turn to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 1. Verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Okay, now when it comes to meditation, you'll notice here that twice he's talked about meditating day and night. And there are other verses we could look at, but again, this is review. When it comes to meditating God's Word, when it comes to understanding Scripture, you have to understand that you may recognize the English words and understand them very well. Some of them. Most of them. Some of these words are, you know, like $15 words. They're pretty big and hard enough to read, let alone try and read out loud. But you understand what I'm saying. You're going to recognize the English words. But the message is completely foreign to you. You say, now, wait a minute. Well, how do you figure that? Well, now think. The moment that you get born again, that's the moment you now have the spiritual potential to understand the Word of God. If you can read, you can read it. We could bring in an atheist and have him stand up here for half an hour just reading the Bible, and we'll all understand the words. But the message is something completely different. We can dissect the words. We can go through and read the dictionaries and all these. But the thing is, it's the message that we're after, not just the words. So now, the way you get the message is to train your mind on a spiritual level, which is by taking the Word in and so forth. You train yourself to recognize what is written, meaning the message more than the words. Because you're having to reformat your mental hard drive. You have known for years what it means to read. And you've known for years what it means to comprehend. They taught you that in school. But now we're taking it to another level from a different perspective. We're not only reading and comprehending the words, but now we have to comprehend the message. And when it comes to comprehending the message, the only way that you can do that is to go over it again and again and again and again and again. In the Bible college, the entire fourth year of curriculum is a verse-by-verse study of the book of Romans. And it's broken up into nine different courses. And in each one of those courses, the assignment was, part of the assignment that they had, was to read the book of Romans in the King James four times. They had to read it all the way through four times. So by the time the end of the school year came about, they had read the book of Romans 36 times. Now the reason for that is because reading it those 36 times begins sowing it deeply, not just in their spirit, but it begins changing their way of thinking about the continuity in the book. And they begin to see the pattern flow from chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through the end of the book in chapter 16. They begin to comprehend the message, how that you can't lift chapter 7 out of the middle of the entire book, let alone out of the middle of the flow of chapter 6, 7, and 8. They begin to understand these things. Well, this is true for any book in the Bible. You can take a smaller book, a Philippians, a Colossians, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. You can pick a smaller book and just start reading. And read it over and over and over and over. And read it over and over. And I would encourage you to pray in the Spirit as well. Because one of the things that the Holy Spirit is going to do, one of His assignments, is to help us to understand God's Word. So as we're praying in tongues, and as we're reading God's Word, reading a book over and over and over again, He's able to take that material, that message from that book, and begin to break it down for us on a spiritual level. And then what happens is this. Over time, He's able to make a connection between something in Colossians to something in Romans, from something in Philippians to something in John, from something in Ephesians to something in Galatians. He's able to start putting all these things together. And all of a sudden, on the inside of you, you start coming to the comprehension of the message more than the recognition of the words. In fact, it can get to the point to where you'll remember and understand what you've read, and you'll be able to talk about it, but you might not be able to quote exactly chapter and verse. But you're going to be able to give the flow of the passage. The more that you meditate, the more you're going to begin to understand what God's Word has to say. There have been times, and I've shared this before, where I've been praying in the Spirit while reading. And I'm reading, and I come across a word, and I can't recall a specific example right now, but I'll be reading, and I'll come across, part of a verse or a passage that's been taught in a certain way because of maybe a particular word in there. And as I read this and I'm praying in the Spirit, all of a sudden, it's like on the inside of me, I'm hearing the definition of that word. And the definition of that word changes the meaning of the verse or the passage so that it doesn't go along with the way I've heard it preached through the years. Then I go and I get a dictionary, or like a strong concordance or something, or a lexicon, and I look a really good lexicon. I look up the word, and sure enough, there it is, the definition that I heard on the inside. You say, well, how does that happen? The Holy Spirit gave it to me. It's like I'm reading and I'm reading and I'm reading, and we get to this particular point, and He says, now that word right there. And in my mind, I start thinking, I bet you that word means such and such, thus and thus, and so and so. And then I go look it up, and sure enough, that's exactly what it means. Exactly. One time, He even gave me the Greek word for a particular English word. And then I looked up the English word and found the Greek word next to it, and that's the one that the Holy Spirit had given me. It was incredible. You say, yeah, but that's you. No, get off that, man. Get off that stuff. You think that when Mom weaned me off the bottle that I knew these things? You have got to come to the place of understanding this is for everyone. It isn't just for the person that stands behind the pulpit. It's every single Christian has within them this potential. The difference goes back to kind of what we were talking about earlier, the imaginations. What is the active image in you? Do you really believe this will work for you? Yeah, but Brother Martin, you don't understand. I just, You know, I've had problems, mental problems throughout life. And? Well, yeah, but that hinders me. Really? Now, what does the word have to say? By his stripes ye were healed. See, this is... You can make all the excuses you want. You can say that, you know, you have LDD and ADD and DMD and BO and whatever else you want to claim that you have. By his stripes you were healed. This is why you're never going to be able to stand before God and say, well, I had a comprehension problem. He's going to say, not in your spirit. And if you were using the mind of Christ instead of your natural mind, you would have understood. But they told me I needed medication. God's going to say, but what did my word have to say? Yeah, I know, God, but they told me. In other words, you're exalting the words of other people above what God has said about you. If he says you have the mind of Christ, that means you have the potential to accomplish everything I've shared so far in this message tonight. Don't let anyone rob you of what God has said about you. Don't let that happen. So you can understand, you can come to this place, you can come to being able to understand Scripture, but it's going to take time and it's going to take this meditation process. Praying in the Spirit, this is where this meditation day and night is concerned. You can't read the Bible all the time. It's hard to read your Bible and drive. It's hard to read your Bible and do your job at work. It's hard to read your Bible and change a diaper at the same time. There are a lot of things that legitimately interfere with your... It's hard to read the Bible while you're sleeping. But by sowing the word into you and going over a passage again and again and again and praying in the Spirit, what you're doing is you're giving the Holy Spirit building material, stuff he can work with. You're putting the word in you so that he can take the word. Okay, think of it like this. Maybe this will help. You put it in, you put it in, you put it in. You know what the English words are, but the message is like a jigsaw puzzle. But you keep putting it in and putting it in. He's on the inside of you. Now, he takes all those pieces, and he knows exactly where they go. And he puts them together and creates the image of the message that you've been putting in you. Now, all of a sudden, you know what you're reading. You understand it. And honestly, what will happen over time... You'll come to the place to where you don't remember that you didn't understand what you didn't used to understand. Used to didn't understand something. And that's a very exciting thing. So when it comes to understanding God's Word, you have to meditate like this. And the repetition is invaluable. Now let's talk about another one. We've talked about the hearing. We've talked about the meditating. Now let's talk about the working. Turn over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Look at verse 12. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now he has said right there that those of us who believe in him can do his works. What is the typical active image in most Christians? They can't do it. What is the typical active image in most believers? They can't get anybody healed. What does that produce? Inaction, does it not? Most Christians, in fact, I don't have statistics, so I'm just going to guess. I'm guessing that the majority of the people hearing this live in this room tonight, let alone those who are going to hear it after the fact, I'm guessing, just guessing, and that's all, that the majority of you here tonight struggle with the idea of doing the works of Jesus. I really believe that. You say, well, why, Brother Martin, would you say that? Because, for one thing, it's some of the looks in people's faces when I talk about you can do the works of Jesus. You're trying your best not to say anything with your expressions, but it still comes through. You know, like your eyes start crossing and your ears start, you know, wiggling, whatever. If Jesus said we can do his works, we can do his works. Yeah, but Brother Martin, see if you can bear witness with this. Yeah, but Brother Martin, I just don't know how. Amen? Okay, what is that? That's an active image of that you've created of yourself that you don't know how. Now, Jesus said we do them. He didn't say we'd be able to put a formula on a chalkboard to explain them. He just said we do them. If you're going to sit around and wait till you understand how, then you'll never do. Because you'll live your life not understanding how I'm... Now listen, but I don't understand how I'm supposed to do it. What do you mean you don't understand? What's it say in the Bible? If we're going to do His works, now think about this. If we're going to do His works, doesn't it seem like that we should follow His pattern? How did He do them? Well, I don't know, Brother Mark. Yes, you do. Have you read the New Testament? Well, yeah, then you know. No, I don't. Yes, you do. You know. Because you have seen Him do them. You've read about it. You weren't there, but you've read about it. He's described... You guys believe in George Washington more than you believe in Jesus. I mean, I'm not saying you discount Jesus. What I'm saying is, we believe more in the things that George Washington did, and he crossed the Delaware. I could do that. Well, Jesus opened blind eyes. Yeah, I know. And yet not one of us has ever met old George. We just read about him. And yet we're talking about the works that Jesus Christ did. All we've got is what we've read about Him. But He has set the pattern for us. Now when it comes to doing His works, you have to change your image, whatever is active on the inside of you that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God says you can do the works of Jesus, because the knowledge of God is what gave us this verse. So therefore, from God's perspective, you can do the works of Jesus. Every single one of us, we can do it. Now, what do we need to do to change that image? What do we need to do to come to the place to where our active image is of doing the works? Well, remember we talked about meditating on the Word and how that you have to go over it and over it and over it so it becomes a part of you. The same thing is true when it comes to the works of Jesus. Now, I'm going to give you an example, and you can do this on your own. Of course, some of you will be asking for copies, and I guess that's all right. What I have here is a nine-page document, and it starts off like this. John 14:12, what we just read. Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. God knew you were going to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So referencing that, using this verse, God has predestined for you to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. If you are conformed to the image of His Son, you do His works. You can't say you're conformed to His image and not do the works. It's a growing process. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 1 John 4:17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. See, what we just read to this point, it's all relative to what I'm talking about us doing His works. We can do them, every single one of us. And then after Philippians 4:13, I started in Matthew. And I went through and copied and pasted all the verses relative to things that He did. For example, Matthew 8, verses 2 through 4. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. What do we have right there? We have the image of Jesus healing this man with leprosy. In Luke chapter 4, 38 through 41, Peter's wife or no, Peter's mother-in-law is healed. And then after she is healed, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And over and over and over again. And then after we get through with the four Gospels, we get into the book of Acts. We begin to see, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. We begin to see Philip over in Samaria doing mighty signs and wonders and casting out devils. We begin to see Paul healing a man of a bloody flux and healing all the people that would come to him. I mean, over and over and over again, we see this repeated. And what happens is, as you begin to meditate on these passages, you begin to capture the image that God's wanting you to capture. You begin to see these things happening, and don't be surprised when you start meditating the way that I spoke about meditating over and over again. You start meditating on these kind of passages, don't be surprised if the Holy Spirit doesn't begin to give you a mental motion picture of the thing happening right before your very eyes. And you see Jesus laying hands and this person being healed and jumping up. And you see the man lowered down through the roof, and Jesus speaking. You see the withered hand stick forth, you know, stretch forth and be perfectly made whole. You begin to see these things happening. Because what's happening is this. These are His works that we're supposed to do. And the more we meditate on those works, the more the Holy Spirit is able to bear witness with our spirits and say, that's you. Yeah, you're reading about Jesus, but that's you. That's what you're supposed to be doing. That's what you can be doing, because He said you can do all things through Him. He strengthens you, and He said you can do His works. And you go through and you begin to read this. You begin to read it over and over and over again, and it begins to change the image that you have of, I don't know, I guess I can, I'm not sure how. All of that begins to be swept away by the transformation that takes place on the inside of you, and you begin to realize, but I can do this. I can do this. Jesus said all things are possible to him that believes. So really what it comes down to is what we believe and what we don't believe. So therefore, if I question doing His works, it's not a matter of whether I can or can't. God has already settled that by saying we can. It's a matter of what I believe about what He has said. When that begins to change, I begin to walk with the confidence, the kind of confidence to where who knows but what someday even my shadow, when it's cast upon somebody, will do the work of Jesus. So now, very briefly, to review the review. You can hear His voice, but the thing you've got to do that's going to help you is to pray in tongues, and begin listening on the inside, because He's going to speak to you on a spirit-to-spirit level. The more you pray in tongues, the more you're training your spirit to hear Him, and stop trying to hear Him so hard that you don't hear Him, because you'll just dismiss things that He says. Meditating the Word, coming to the understanding of Scripture, going beyond just the comprehension of the words and entering into the comprehension of the message. Take a book in the Bible, a short one, and read it over and over and over again, and keep reading it, praying in the Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to put all the pieces of the puzzle together so you have the complete image from chapter 1 to the end of the entire chapter. Then go to another book and do that, and go to another book and do the same thing. And the Holy Spirit not only will put the chapters and the books together, the chapters in the book together, but it'll start putting the books together, creating the entire image of the fullness of the doctrine of Christ. And when it comes to doing His works, change the active image in you from anything that doesn't believe you can, whatever that means to you, change that image to you being the one whose garment, the hem of your garment, being touched by the lady with the issue of blood. To you being the one telling the person with the withered hand to stretch it forth. You being the one to say, take up your bed, rise and walk. You being the one laying hands on it. And you being the one casting out the devils. And the lady with the infirmity bent over all those years straightens up. You being the one that does that. Begin seeing yourself in the pages of Scripture doing the works of Jesus. Because He said, you can do my works if you believe. You can do this. Now what I've shared with you tonight, three different areas of transformation, that if you'll take this to heart and you'll put it to practice, the change is guaranteed to come because this is God's will for each one of us. And if you'll do this, you're going to begin to hear the Word, or hear His voice. You're going to begin to understand His Word. And not only that, you're going to start seeing the works of Jesus take place in your life. Hallelujah. Okay, we are finished. Everybody stand.